That is true. But God is also an angry God. Right? We have instances in our own Bibles where God destroyed cities, entire cities. He wiped everyone out. Right? We have instances where God not only destroyed cities, he wiped the whole world and only spared 8 people. And as Christians, we believe that those stories are not just made-up stories, right? They are real things that happen because we believe the Bible is a historical book, as we saw some previous weeks ago, what we believe about the Bible. Those things are not jokes. The God we believe in was able to wipe out the whole world at one point and spared only 8 people. The God we believe in destroyed whole cities. And in fact, even when you follow the history of Israel, the God we believe in sent Israel to wipe out nations because he said their sin had reached the upper limit. And in fact, even when you look at Israel itself, the God we believe in wiped out Israel itself at some point using Assyria and Babylon. So the God we believe in is extremely angry. And we have instances of where he carries out his anger in the Bible. It's not Job. That leaves the question, why is he so angry? Why will he wipe out the whole world? I mean, everybody, just like that. Why? And if we look again at our bulletins, we have 2 passages there. Let's start from the Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And if you look up, or down on your bulletins in Romans. You also have the Romans passage. In chapter 3, verse 23, it says there, we all have sinned, right, and fall short of the glory of God. And the passage that we just read says that God is angry. Why? Because people are ungodly and people are unrighteous. So, as we saw in the beginning, we all have guilt. All of us, there's no single human being who can tell me he's perfect, right? I'm pretty sure none of us here will claim to be perfect. We all have some bad things we have done at some point, at some time. Some of us care about those bad things. We want to address them. Some of us don't care. But the first thing I want to say to those who don't care is, you better care. Because the God the Christians believe in, if he is a real God and he's really there, it means very bad news. He doesn't take sin as a joke. Right? He doesn't take sin as a joke. So a few other things that we can see from here is all have sinned, right? Both Christians and non-Christians, all of them at some point, at some time in life, did some bad things. And also, when you look down at the Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, it says, we all were by nature children of wrath. So sin is universal. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has some bad things they have done. And by implication, if God is angry with sin, it means God is angry with everyone. Initially, everyone, God is not happy with us. One last thing we can see from here is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, right? Like, a dead person cannot bring himself to life, right? So, when it says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, I'm sure not all of us here are happy with the things we do. At times, we want to change. We try to change. We try our best. Oh, no, I just watched it again. I just did it again. I want to stop. You keep trying. You keep trying. But you never stop. Why? The Bible says it's because you are dead. Our nature is more inclined to evil than to good. Right? We saw that last week when we were speaking about sin. Ever since our parents, our foreparents, Adam and Eve fell into sin, we are not born neutral. We are born with a bias. That's what the Bible calls the sinful nature. And that's why the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Right? We do sins, but we are not sinners because we do sins. We sin because we are sinners. The reason why we do bad is because we already have a bias from birth. Okay, so God is angry with us. Now let's address those who care about this. Because some of us may be thinking, yeah, I already know I'm a sinner. I already know I have faults. I already know I'm not perfect. But how to deal with that? I'm looking for some hope. Right? I cannot make up for my wrongs. I cannot go back yesterday and change what I did. I'm at this point in life, I have regrets. Is there any hope for me? Is there any forgiveness offered? Is there something I can do? And the answer to that is, the answer for that is, there is a way out. God made a way out himself. He's angry with us, but he didn't just stop there. He made a way for that anger, for that relationship to become good again. How did he do that? So, from our verse again, in verse 4, on your paper, Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5, God is not just angry. He's also merciful. He's also loving. And as a loving and caring God, he knows we have a big problem. We are sinners. And sin deserves punishment. Even in our world, if a criminal is caught, he will go to jail. But God stepped in to save us, to make us alive, to change us from the inside. How did he do that? The first thing that God did is he provided payment for our sins. So think about it like this. If I, by some chance, one day, I'm caught by the police and I'm brought to court and I'm being tried in the court, the judge cannot just let me go for free. Some payment needs to be made. Somebody has to pay for what I have done. Right? And here, God himself provided the payment. If you look at the Romans passage again on your bulletins, it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophet bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So there are two important words on this slide. The word redemption and the word propitiation. Those are not common English words. We don't use them every day. What does redemption mean? What does propitiation mean? Redemption means I owe someone big amount of money. I cannot pay back. In the olden days, when you owed someone that much, you were sold as a slave. Right? And to be redeemed means somebody steps in for you and pays the money you owe so that you can walk away free. Propitiation has to do with satisfying the requirements of the justice that somebody has broken. Right? So, propitiation is like, for example, let's go back to the court story. So if the judge says, okay, because you're guilty, right? Maybe you have to pay this amount of Hong Kong dollars. But I'm broke. I don't have the money. Right? To propitiate on my behalf means to take that punishment for me. That's propitiation. So these two words are very related. So God provided payment for our sins by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That's why the key message of Christianity, whatever building you go, usually they will have like a cross. When we sing about Jesus because he's the center of our faith. He's the payment. He's the one who paid for us. Next, he didn't just pay for our sins. So, think of it like this. If you're in class, you're studying for an exam, right? There are usually some marks that you need to achieve in order to pass the class, right? So, if you have, say, 40%, but the pass mark is 50%, you're going to fail, right? You need to have 50% to go to the next class. So, God has a requirement for any human being who ever dreams to go to heaven. And that requirement is to be perfect. But we already saw in the beginning, none of us is perfect, right? We are all guilty. At some point in life, we failed. Right? Which means, by implication, none of us qualifies for heaven. So there's a problem. Jesus paid for our past sins, but what about the requirement we need to meet before going to heaven? God also provided that requirement for us. Jesus died as a payment for our sins, but also to provide that righteousness, to provide that perfection that we need in order to go to heaven. So, why did God go through all this trouble? Like, why send Jesus? Why did Jesus die? Why did he come? Remember in the beginning we said there's a big problem that the Bible tries to address. How can a just God forgive a criminal? Right? Because, like we said in the beginning, if you do that today, your name will be all over the news that you're very corrupt. Right? You cannot just forgive somebody who killed someone. No, that person needs to go to jail. You cannot just forgive somebody who stole from a company. That company will sue you. Right? How can you forgive this guy who stole from my company? So God has the same thing. God needs to meet the requirements of the law while forgiving us. So the reason why Jesus came, according to verse 25 of Romans 21, of Romans 3, is that God sent Jesus as a propitiation to show that he is a righteous God. Right? He just doesn't forgive sin. Payment was made. Righteousness was provided because God himself paid for us. This is the best news in the world. So in the beginning, we were singing the song, "You're all I want, you're all I need," right? This is the reason why Christians sing that song. We're all guilty. We all have things we regret. We all have things we wish we could change. But there are some things you cannot change. They are gone. You cannot make up for the wrongs you have done. But the beautiful thing is that God stepped in to forgive us, to give us a new start, to give us a new hope. Some implications and applications of what we have seen. The first implication is that saying sorry for what we have done or saying that we are going to change is not enough. It's good that you're sorry for what we have done. It's good that you want to change, but it's not enough. Even in a court of law, If you say you're sorry, the judge will say, yes, you better be sorry, but you're still going to jail. Right? Saying sorry is not enough. Somebody had to pay for our sins. Either we will pay for ourselves, or somebody had to pay. Thank God Jesus did. Second implication or a question that we want to ask is, yeah, that sounds good, but why is that okay? How can somebody else pay for me? In this world, if I commit a crime, I need to pay myself, right? Usually, if somebody kills somebody, the judge will not allow somebody else to go to jail on your behalf. You're going to jail yourself. Why is that okay? Well, there are two reasons. The first reason why it is okay is because God said so, right? That Jesus is enough. The second reason why it is okay is also think about while we are sinners. You remember we said, you're not a sinner only because of the things you do. Yes, you're a sinner because of the things you do, but not only so. You're also a sinner because you have a sinful nature, right? And there's a beautiful verse in Romans chapter 5. It says, as one man, one trespass, the trespass of Adam, led to condemnation for all men. So we are sinners because of Adam. So also, the one man's obedience led to justification for all men. So it's good because just like we are sinners by nature, God provided a way also that doesn't depend on us. Okay, one of the applications, right, one of the good news that we have is, like we said in the beginning, some of us are bearing a lot of guilt. Some of us have things we wish we could change, but you cannot. The beautiful thing is, you can come to Jesus, whether it's with your sin, whether it's with your shame, whether it's with your past mistakes, rejection, pain, whatever you have, you can come to Jesus. He has paid it in full, right? We are justified by His grace as a gift. It is free. It is a gift. You don't need to pay for anything. God has paid everything for you. You need to only do one thing. You need to accept what Jesus has done for you. Okay, another thing is also that this payment, this gift, is not universal, right? We don't believe that all human beings are saved by birth, right? You're not born forgiven, right? You're born a sinner, like we have seen already. So in order for this forgiveness to apply to you, in order for this gift of God to apply to you, you need to do one thing. If I give you a gift, or if somebody gives me a gift, what do I have to do? Do I pay him for his gift? No, right? What do? I accept the gift. That's faith. So, God has given Jesus to die for our sins. All you need to do for that to apply to you is to receive Jesus, is to accept him by faith. Yeah. Let me end with this one. Maybe somebody here may be thinking, okay, yeah, I hear what you say, God, hell, all of that. But is hell really that bad? I mean, most of the stars today, like the guys from Hollywood, they are making fun about hell. They say that if hell is real, they want to go there because all the funny people will be there, right? There will be parties in hell, right? They'll have a good time. But you couldn't be further from the truth. Look at that word again. God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by his blood, right? In order to pay for our sins, what did God have to do? he put forward his only son that he loved. Right? And we know what happened to Jesus. If God could watch Jesus go through that pain just to save us from hell, you better believe hell is bad enough. Because if not, God would not have done that. How do we respond as Christians? What should be the effect of this to our hearts? There's a beautiful story in the book of Luke. There's this woman. She heard that Jesus was in town. Right? This woman had a very bad past. Maybe she used to live with other men. Right? Who knows how many abortions she did. Her life was a mess. But she heard that Jesus forgave, that Jesus accepted people like her. So as soon as she heard that Jesus was in town, she went to where she knew Jesus would be, and she just started crying at his feet. And the good news is, Jesus did not push her away. Right? Jesus received her, and he went on to tell a story to the friends that were there. And in that story, he said, two people owed a lot of money to someone. One owed that person maybe $1 million Hong Kong dollars. And the other one owed maybe 1,000. Right? And then this guy forgave both of them. And then Jesus asked the question, which one of those two will love this guy more? And the right answer was the one who owed the $1 million, because that's a lot, right? So it's the same thing for us as Christians. If you want to love God more, if you want to live a life that pleases him more, if you want that song to really mean what it meant to you, remember where you came from. Remember your sins. Don't forget about that. And then look to Jesus and see what he did for you. Yeah. Thank you. Let's pray together. And then after that, we will call Adam to come forward and share his testimony. Dear Lord, we thank you for what we have heard. And we thank you for this reminder, Lord, that you made a way for people like us to be forgiven. Usually we will compare ourselves to others. We will think, oh, we are not that bad. But we know, Lord, that's because we don't understand who you are. We remember even from a few weeks ago, just one sin brought all this mess in our world. But we have done so many, Lord. We have so many sins that we have done in our lives. So we really thank you for this opportunity, for this free gift that you gave us. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to share it with our friends. Some of them might not even know you yet. Not to speak about knowing the trouble that's coming. Give us the strength, the wisdom to know how to share with them. And also help us ourselves not to forget what you have done for us, but to grow more and more in love for you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.